Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome all to the Moving Image Podcast, where we discuss all things classic, films, music, and social events. I'm your host and navigator, the scribe, Bob Batista. Today's show is about a fascinating human being, an actress of the stage and screen, Mayo Metho. And my guest today is author of a book on her life, Roy Whiting. Welcome, Roy, to the Moving Image.
Hello, Bob. Good to talk to you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So, Roy, it is so great having you on, and our topic is a great one. So, my first question to you is, who was Mayo Metho?
It's a great question. A lot of people wouldn't know the name, but for 7 years, she was married to who is, by many accounts, the greatest leading man of film, Humphrey Bogart. And so perhaps I could sum it up best by someone who knew them both. In a book called Louise on Hollywood, Louise Brooks, famous actress, said, no, besides Leslie Howard, no person contributed so much to Humphrey Bogart's success as his third wife, Mayo Metho. And she goes on to talk about how she basically set fire to Humphrey Bogart and basically made him, she helped to make him the great star that he became. And part of that is because she was a Broadway star years before Humphrey Bogart hit it big.
So why did you feel it was necessary to write a biography about this talented woman?
I had a bit of a home field advantage because I was born in the town that Mayo Metho called her home. And what I realized is that having lived here, and I was a big Bogart fan starting in my 20s, we would have film festivals and stuff, and I'd go to those. I started to read a little bit, and I realized there was a lot of misconception about her life. And so one reason for the book was to correct what I'd realized were misconceptions about her life. And I had been a Bogart fan. I was born in Portland, the town she called. And then I had already written a nonfiction book, interestingly enough, centered around a mysterious tomb on the same grounds where Mayo is interred, called the Portland Memorial. It's a mausoleum, one of the largest west of the Mississippi. So I had multiple reasons kind of connecting myself to Mayo. And I started to find her compelling. I was curious why no one had ever written a book about her. I mean, after all, she was married to Humphrey Bogart for 7 years. They had a controversial marriage, kind of a high-profile one. But the icing on the cake was that I have family members there at the Portland Memorial, the mausoleum. And in order for me to pay my respects there, I literally have to walk right past Mayo's crypt. So after year after year after year, I finally resolved to complete the book that I had kind of started an outline on.
So how long did it take you to actually write and complete the actual book?
I was stuck for years at what some writers call the muddled middle. You know, when you're starting out with a book, you're really kind of enthusiastic. You see these possibilities. And part of the reason that I think that it took me so long is because I had a hard time kind of putting the pieces together in a way that could really be what I felt uplifting. I mean, here's somebody who was a major Broadway star. She was right. in film, and she married, you know, like I say, the arguably the leading man. So she had this trifecta of her life, but yet hardly anybody knows about her. And I tried to make her kind of available to people in the sense that in the book I wanted it to be relatable. I wanted it to be a good read, and I had a hard time completing it for a variety of reasons. One is that everybody likes a happy story. This is somebody who really peaked early in her career, and
right.
it was tough because you want so many people they end on a high note in her life. I wouldn't say she ended on a low note, but she died early, so that was another factor.
Yeah, Louise Brooks, there's a name for you. I remember seeing her in Pandora's Box, but that's another story. So, Roy, earlier in her career, Mayo Metho was known as the Portland Rosebud. Was she born in Portland, Oregon?
Great question, and no, she was not. It was commonly thought that she was born in Portland, but actually she was born in Chicago, Illinois, in 1904.
Okay.
And her family came out to Portland when she was a child, and she started in the local theater here in Portland, and it was called the Baker Theater, and that's kind of what pushed her forward, because she gathered the name Portland Rosebud, but it's kind of a marketing approach. There was the West Coast Advertising Association was trying to get a kind of a mascot. There was they were trying to get more ad dollars on the West Coast because the East Coast had all the big ad agencies, and they were trying to kind of
right.
push for getting more money on the West Coast. And so what they did is they came up with an idea to get a young girl, a male, and they ended up basically going east to a large convention of advertisers. She was a big hit. They ended up, she ended up meeting President Woodrow Wilson at the White House as part of that trip, and they had tremendous coverage. I mean, if you read the newspapers of the day, they really leveraged her and their whole group in a positive manner. So it's positive publicity all the way. And so from thereafter, she was known as the Portland Rosebud because she was basically representing the city and a lot of the West Coast to those on the East.
So I don't think she's made that many films. I've seen her in a couple, but I know she was a big hit on stage, as you mentioned earlier. So, Roy, take us through the early part of her career. How was she able to get on the stage and then eventually into films?
Yeah, her mom was an early stage mom.
Okay.
Evelyn was her name, Evelyn Metho. And she had a lot of drive. And Mayo was an only child, so there was a lot of effort put into her. Mayo's dad was a sea captain, Jack Metho, and he was gone quite a bit. And so it ended up that Mayo's mom had a big part in getting her, you know, opportunities. So she was also sent, Mayo was sent to Catlin School at the time, which is still in existence. And it's a kind of a progressive school with a lot of artistic approaches and an emphasis. And so that was a big push. And so she was doing summer stock and a lot of other theatrical productions, and just developed quite well. I mean, she was kind of a natural, I think a lot of people would say, with a lot of hard work as well. And one of the things that really catapulted her forward from not only in doing well in theater but also into film was when the talkies started to come in. They needed people who could actually speak, and as a theater person, she had that ability to really come forward with her. She could project, I guess you'd say. She could really
right.
Speak well. She had a good memory. She was attractive, and just had this good background, a lot of training. And so it really helped her when she started to do film, because there were a lot of stars back in the silent era who couldn't make that transition. but Mayo could, and she did, and it allowed her to an entree into a whole new format.
Now, I know Mayo was Bogey's third wife. Was Mayo married before Bogart? Did she have a husband previous to Humphrey Bogart?
Yes, she had two, and they weren't the most pleasant. And one of the reasons is because her first husband was a cameraman, and he was off doing a lot of his own work in different cities. Her second husband was somewhat resentful of the fact that she worked at all. And in fact, their divorce had something to do with, you know, he wouldn't even let her move the furniture. I mean, some people would maybe say he was into control. It just kind of depends on, you know, the two people not getting along, and sometimes it pops up in different ways. But she had been married twice before marrying Humphrey Bogart, and both the marriages were, you know, younger in her life, and she kind of learned from that, I think, because she stayed single for a while before, you know, committing herself to her third and what would be her final marriage.
It was said that she met Bogey when they were both filming the 1937 movie Marked Woman with Betty Davis. Is that true, or did she know Bogey beforehand?
My research shows that there was an intersecting connection there when they were in New York in acting,
okay.
At least on the East Coast. They were familiar with each other, but that and there was a meeting with an award ceremony in Los Angeles in 1937 where they really were reintroduced to each other. And it's discussed in different journals talking about both of their lives. But that introduction at an award ceremony in Los Angeles, 1937, was really the big kickoff. He was apparently stunned by her beauty. They started seeing each other. And, Marked Woman was one of the films where they were, the few films they were actually together, and with Betty Davis.
Now, I know Mayo was a very pretty girl, but what was it about her that caused Humphrey Bogart to pursue, then marry her?
That is a great question. I think you could boil it down to her personality. They had a lot in common with the acting trade. It also has been said that she made him laugh, and Humphrey Bogart loved to laugh. And, you know, his life, he had had some challenges in his own life. His dad had an extended illness. Bogart had had a sister who had also been quite ill. I'm sure there was an escape element to it where, you know, getting away from some of the sadder parts of his life at the time. And she was a quick-witted woman. She was attractive and very popular. And there's something else that's important to point out here too, Bob. At the time, her star was ascending when they met. I mean, she was still quite well-known, at least in Broadway circles, and getting to be known in film.
Right.
She was able to help him. In terms of his theater and as well as his film work. And so looking at it from home, in fact, some have said that virtually every wife that Humphrey Bogart had helped him career-wise. All of his wives were actresses, and Mayo was no exception. So looking at it from that standpoint of when they met and when they were dating, she was a big deal. And, of course, he went on to far, far greater stardom. But at the time when they were dating and when they were first married, it wasn't so clear then.
A while after Mayo and Bogart were married, she gave up acting. But the transition wasn't that easy on the marriage, and they developed the moniker the Battling Bogarts due to their many public fights during intoxicating situations. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I think alcohol was a big part of it, or at least a part of it, depending on who you talk to. And my whole thing is, as a biographer, you know, if I've got evidence to support a certain perspective, I usually go to those people who were there or the people who knew them both. And
right.
In this case, I think it's pretty unanimous that, you know, alcohol was a big part of their lifestyle. I think it had a good amount to do with some of their disagreements and their public fighting. I think there's another part here that's important to point out too, Bob. She was encouraged by Humphrey Bogart to basically not work as well, just
right.
like one of Romeo's previous husbands. And so in that way, there was a resentment, and it's pretty apparent if you read through articles and what others have said about their marriage. It was very difficult for her because she was used to being on the stage, and then she was, you know, had a film career. And one of the lines that Humphrey Bogart is quoted as saying is that, you know, my wife is an actress. She's not working, and she needs somebody to give her her lines. And I'm her husband. And so that's kind of the explanation that's given, that, you know, they're acting out. She's got to act out her drama. She's got this pent-up drama in her, and she's an actress. And so who knows? I mean, it's difficult to say, but I do know that there is evidence to support the fact that she's quite resentful, and there are statements that are attributed to Mayo that suggest that she was quite upset that she didn't get to pursue the career. She did know, having been divorced twice before, that her working and her husband working might not make for a solid marriage. And so
right.
the fact is that she conceded that part, but it wasn't without some degree of pain, and I think some real difficulty in dealing with that, especially as her husband was reaching the upper echelons of stardom.
So in 1944, Bogart makes a film called To Have and Have Not with a 19-year-old starlet named Lauren Bacall. And during the filming, they supposedly fall in love. Did Mayo see this coming, and how did she handle it?
Well, she didn't handle it well. And what's ironic is a year or two earlier, Humphrey Bogart was co-starring with Ingrid Bergman, who some would argue would be the most beautiful woman in film. And
right.
she was sure, Mayo was sure that, you know, Humphrey was seeing her on the side. So this was difficult for Mayo. It's also a little bit telling because both Mayo and Humphrey had dalliances before they were married. In fact, when they were you know, earlier in their respective marriages. So, I mean, the degree of suspicion may have been partly because of that. They kind of knew what each was capable of doing. But it was a very hard time. And of course, by then, when To Have and Have Not was being filmed, Mayo was older and was at home and drinking, and was very hard to for her to process.
After she gets divorced from Bogart and he marries Bacall, there's an incident where Mayo supposedly makes an anti-Semitic comment to her over the phone. Did this really happen? And did Mayo have any history of anti-Semitism?
That's a really powerful question. And if I focus like I typically do on just the evidence, you know, we know Lauren Bacall wrote a biography, an autobiography, and in that autobiography, she states that that Mayo Metho had made an anti-Semitic comment. I don't doubt Lauren Bacall's version of it. I do not see a pattern, however, of anti-Semitism, and there are several reasons for that. The reason I believe is, number one, Humphrey Bogart was notably not anti-Semite. In fact, in July of 1943, there was a B'nai B'rith centennial in Los Angeles, which he attended with Mayo. And Humphrey Bogart said anti-Semitism is un-American. And then he introduced Mayo Methuen, his wife, who said, I agree with everything my husband said. So she's on the record as not being anti-Semitic. And also of interest, her attending physician, Mayo's attending physician, up until the day she died for months, was William Rosenbaum, a respected Jewish physician in Portland, Oregon. And he was on the in the medical school faculty for the University of Oregon. So I'm looking at the big picture. I'm thinking, you know, if she made a comment like that to Lauren McCall, my thought would be she may have been drinking, and that's not an excuse. But I look then for a pattern, and I don't see it. So, again, I would defer to Lauren McCall's version of it, but based on all the evidence that I'm seeing, I don't think it was an actual pattern that she had.
So, Roy, what happened to Mayo after she stopped being Mrs. Humphrey Bogart? How did she handle life after Bogie?
Yeah, she pretty much retreated back to the arms of her mom. You know, every time when I was researching the book, she seemed to always be able to come back, whether it was a bad review, you know, or she had a divorce. It seemed like she was a survivor, you know. She's always hopeful. She married three times. And so she arrives back in Oregon and staying with her mom in Portland. And there were several fits and starts in terms of her trying to basically regain her footing on the stage and in film. Those did not go as she had expected. She did have offers for film parts and plays, parts in plays, and some other jobs as well in the Midwest. But they didn't really pan out. Her health then started to fade, and it, from that point forward, you know, at a relatively young age, she basically passed away.
Did she pass away in a motel room alone? Some people have said this has happened.
Yeah, there really are two stories, two narratives for how Mayo Methuen passed away. It's difficult when someone's 47 years old, you know, because that's what she was when she died, 47.
Wow.
But I dug into the research. I went and looked at, you know, I know the neighborhoods very well and researched the locations and where these two different narratives were supposedly played out. And, you know, in the book, Sluggy, Bogie's Other Baby, I talk and I work my way through, you know, what is the most likely scenario here? And
right.
It's pretty clear that there is a, you know, there's kind of an industry on the death of celebrities. And I think sometimes the sensational usually wins out because it's more memorable. But working through the details, the evidence points not to her dying in a motel. The official story is that she passed away in the hospital. And, you know, looking at the death certificate and knowing the locations of where she's purportedly was to have died, according to the more salacious narrative, it wasn't the logical answer.
I don't think she had any children with Humphrey Bogart. Did she have any children at all from her other marriages?
No, she was childless.
So let me ask you, what are your feelings about Humphrey Bogart now? Not the actor, after you've done the research on Mayo and all of that, not the actor, but the man. What are your feelings about Bogie?
He was a complex guy. I mean, here's a guy who was born at the end of that previous century, 1899. He served in World War I toward the end of it in the Navy. His dad was a physician. His mother was an illustrator. And
right.
he kind of resisted that up crust lifestyle, at least in the sense that he kind of wanted to strike out on his own. And so he did it his own way. I mean, it's if you take a look at his success, you know, it's easy for us to look at, you know, he was always a star. Well, you know, he, like everybody else, he paid his dues. And, you know, the thing is, too, if you look at it from the through the prism of the times, you know, smoking is what was probably the main thing that killed him.
Right.
The multiple marriages, the heavy drinking, it was all pushed pretty heavy at that time in our country's history. And he was a product of his times. And he was a complex guy. He didn't like phonies by all accounts, but very, he was a very professional actor. He took it seriously and appreciated, you know, doing a good job.
The story goes that the Petrified Forest made Bogey a star. The Maltese Falcon made him a superstar, and Casablanca made him a legend. There's so many, you know, accolades and stories about Bogart. He basically was voted the most popular star to come out of the Hollywood machine. And as you said, you know, he was one of the greatest. But getting back to Mayo Methot, what do you think, Roy, is Mayo's lasting legacy? And is there anything unmentioned about her that we should know?
I think it's a story of a small town girl on the West Coast who makes it on Broadway. They say if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. And,
right.
And her dream to make it in the big time, she not only made it on Broadway, she makes it in film. She stars in film with some, you know, she's, that wasn't her biggest legacy perhaps, but she makes it into the movies too. And then she marries Humphrey Bogart, you know, really the leading man of the century. So a small town girl with big dreams can do big things. And it's the kind of thing that we all hope is true. But in this case, it's a story of somebody who it just is almost as quick as she makes it to the big time. Her name is forgotten. And she becomes a footnote. And that was one of the things that I had hoped to kind of address by writing the book. It's because no one had written a book about her. And when I look at the just those three accomplishments alone, I thought it was worthy of a book and the big picture to correct a lot of these misconceptions about her life.
I, for one, am very, very happy that you wrote this book, because I am a big Mayo Methot fan, a big fan of hers. Roy, give out any contact information, your book's website so people can order your book, social media, and any other websites about your platform.
Sure. Specific to this book, you can visit mayomethot.com. That's MAYOMETHOT.com. If you want to know a little bit more about me, you can visit roywiding.com, and that's ROYWIDING.com.
There's the music, and our show is about to end, and what a show it was. You can contact the show at our email at filmalchemynj, that's newjersey@gmail.com, and leave any comments or suggestions. Thank you so much, Roy, for being my guest on The Moving Image. Until next time, good evening. And good evening all.